This show is a rebroadcast of the show broadcast on July the 18th this year. If you have any questions for myself, please use the Real People Talk Autism Facebook page.
106.7 Phoenix FM.
And good morning. You're listening to Real People Talk Autism. I'm Tony Langdon. I'll be doing the show again this week as Becca's still having issues with family and more important stuff like that. Hopefully she'll be back on deck next week, but she's with us in spirit for this week. Anyway, a little bit about the station and the show. Phoenix FM is a community radio station. Can be found online at www.phoenixfm.org.au, where you can also listen to this show via the internet live if you're not in the Bendigo area. Phoenix FM also has a Facebook page, so just look up Phoenix FM and it should pop up there on Facebook. And don't forget to like it while you're there. We have email if you want to email me at any stage during the show. You can email at feedback@phoenixfm.org.au, or alternatively you can send a text message to our SMS number on 04 777 51358. I'll say that again, 04 777 51358, and that will also come into our email feed here at the studio. You can phone on 03 544 1129, but I'll only be able to answer the phone during music tracks. Obviously can't answer while I'm on air. So that's Phoenix FM. Now, about Real People Talk Autism, we also have a Facebook page on www.facebook.com/Real People Talk Autism, or just simply look up Real People Talk Autism on Facebook and you should have no problem finding us. And again, don't forget to like and also to get notifications so you get posts of what's up, coming up, and when the podcasts are up and things like that. We have a Twitter account. If you look up Real People Talk Autism on Twitter, it's fairly straightforward to find. Beck's the guru here, but I think the Twitter address is Talk Autism Radio Oz, or it's something similar. But if you look up Real People Talk Autism, it's quite easy to find. And we have a podcast. If you miss the show, it will be up on podcast later today. It will be announced on the Facebook page, but you can also subscribe directly to the podcast at realpeopleasd.podomatic.com. So that's pretty much the details. Now, before we go on, there's a couple of things happening in and around Victoria over the next few weeks. The first one is next Saturday is the Autism Health and Wellbeing Expo. This is being run at the Darabin Arts and Entertainment Centre on the corner of Bell Street and St George's Road in Preston. Doors open at 10 a.m. and close at 5 p.m. It's pretty easy to get to. There's lots of car parking on and off street, and there's also public transport, train, tram and bus, so it's a really easy place to find. It's quite a good venue. I went to something there several years ago, and it's a good little venue. So they're on the corner of St George's Road and Bell Street and in Preston. Some of the things they look like having are they've got exhibitors covering the areas of psychology, occupational therapy, speech pathology, teacher training, anti-bullying organisations, natural therapies, calming and equipment, calming and education equipment suppliers, clubs and sports groups, community, government and adult support organisations, and many more. There will be a number of speakers speaking throughout the day on a range of topics. They have a Facebook page, and the speaker list is on their Facebook page. So it's another thing to look up, Autism Health and Wellbeing Expo in Melbourne. And they have the website for the Autism Health and Wellbeing Expo is www.autismhealthandwellbeingexpo.com. If you miss any of these links, I will post them to the Facebook page after the show, so you can catch them on our page. So that looks quite interesting. Another thing that's coming up is the ICANN Network are having a fundraiser called August for Autism. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get people, particularly on the autism spectrum, to challenge themselves for the month of August to do something that's difficult, and to use that as a fundraising platform. On that note, I've sort of had my own unofficial little ICANN moment this last 2 weeks. As far as running the show here at Phoenix, I didn't think I was ready to do it solo, and then I'd teed up to come in with Beck last week, and then I wake up Saturday morning to find out that she's not available to come in. So I decided right then and there to take the show on myself. And then again yesterday I found that she's again not able to come in, so after a couple of hours just letting the back burner churn away and come up with some ideas, I said, yes, I'll do the show again, and here I am. So that's sort of my unofficial challenge. It seems to have popped up for the month of July. So anyway, a bit more about the August for Autism Challenge. It's a month-long fundraising campaign dedicated to raising awareness of the everyday challenges faced by kids on the autism spectrum. Participants are invited to set themselves a challenge which they endeavour to overcome during the month of August. And not just young people, but people on the spectrum are encouraged to stand up and say, I can, by reaching out to their support network and tackling together something they thought they could never do alone. So that's sort of the gist of it. And they're saying everyone can get involved. You don't have to be on the spectrum, but if you've got a particular fear you want to overcome, or a particular goal you've always wanted to reach, this could be a way to do it. You can find out more at the ICANN Network at icannnetwork.com.au/August, spelled AWEGUST. So that's August with an AWE. Again, I'll put the link on the Facebook page. And I am looking at taking part in that one myself, although I've got some ideas, but I will announce my challenge before the start of August. And that brings us on to today's show, which has a little bit of an ICANN theme to it. And this week I'll bring back a subject that I talked about on here a couple of years ago. And it's one that sort of gets a bit of a mixed reaction when you talk to people on the spectrum, but it's the subject of sport. I've been fairly active in sport for a number of years, and with that, that's sort of had a number of unique challenges, benefits, and a lot of other experience. So I'd like to share some of that. Particularly the challenges and probably some of the lesser obvious benefits of being involved in sport, and not just sport, not just organised or competitive sport, but also physical activity and recreation in general. And it's something I've thought about a bit since that previous show, and I have blogged about it, which I'll again put up some links. This one, sort of starts back. Goes back to my early primary school years. I used to be involved in little athletics, but back then I wasn't any good at it. I literally couldn't run to save my life. Last in every race, and that was sort of about where everything started. So I'll leave you with that thought. And we'll get into it after a couple of tracks.
We are the taken my bows and my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all, but it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
The voice of your community, 106.7 Phoenix FM.
And we're back with Real People Talk Autism. That was Queen with We Are the Champions, and before that we had M People with Search for the Hero Inside. So setting the theme for today. As I was saying before the music, my initial history in history in sport was not too flash. As I said, I had a lot of coordination issues. Probably had I been born 30 or 40 years later, I would have some label for it. But suffice to say, my coordination was pretty much non-existent, and everything else that stemmed from it, the usual clumsiness and awkwardness and other things of someone on the spectrum. I had no idea how to throw or catch. Still not great at throwing, not too bad at catching today. Throwing, I still haven't got my head around. So these issues have been with me from the start. So that was a starting point. So I was, despite what it might look like today, if you see me out on the track or wherever, I was far from a born sports person. Everything's been pretty much done through years of hard work. So anyway, that was the starting point, and for most of my primary school years, that sort of pretty much held on. One of the strange things was, I did actually enjoy school sports day, even though I wasn't any good at it. I liked being outside in the sun and running around, or doing my best sort of approximation of running around. So I did like getting out and being active, and yes, I'd even have a kick of the footy. Well, more like drop the footy and swing the foot, I think, would be a more accurate description back then. But I didn't formally take up sport again until I was about 10. I got involved in a local judo club, which sort of started me down the road. That held on for a couple of years until, unfortunately, the club folded. I was just as I was starting to make progress and starting to get somewhere, and the club folded, so that was the end of the judo. Another thing I started at around the same time was I joined the local junior fire brigade. That one actually goes back till the time I was about six. Dad took me to the Victorian Urban Fire Brigade State Championships, and of course, if you've never seen it, it's hard to describe. I will post some YouTube links so you can get an idea what it looks like from old video footage. There's a little bit on YouTube at other places as well. That'll give you an idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, here I was, a six-year-old, down in Ballarat, if I recall, watching these competitions, and it's if you haven't seen it, it's a great spectator sport, and it just totally got me into it. Just the action and what was going on, and yeah, water going everywhere, and yeah, some people pushing some fairly heavy equipment quite quickly down the track. You know, it was all colours and motion and everything else, and it got my attention. And I remember saying to Dad that weekend at some stage that I wanted to do it, and being told, well, you have to wait till you're 16 or thereabouts. But as it turned out, the Junior Fire Brigade had come to town by the time I was 11, so I joined that, knowing where that would lead. And I had an interest in, you know, the firefighting side as well, again, through family ties. Dad was a volunteer. I've got an uncle that's been in it all his adult life, probably still in it, although I haven't heard for a few years. So the connections were there. So I had a go at that, and again, progress was slow initially. That was until on a whim, in year 8 when I was 13, I decided, I was actually invited by one of the other kids to have a go in a local footy club, try footy. Now, as I said before, footy definitely wasn't my thing at that age, but I said, you know, what the heck, I'll give it a go. The training didn't really, you know, so I trained for a year, played a couple of games, I think mostly on the bench, but occasionally I got out on the field, forward pocket, which the way we were playing in those days meant that I hardly got to see the ball. but I gave it a go. But what really did work was the training. The coaches then were pretty tough. Fairly old school, and yeah, you'd sort of think, you know, someone like me with all those issues would just fall apart, but for some reason I took to it like a duck to water. I found that the harder I worked, the better I felt, so that sort of encouraged me to work even harder each week. And over the 6 months of the footy season, by September, well, when we'd finished, because we didn't make the finals, and I was quite a different person. It had turned out to be a bit of accidental therapy. I was a lot stronger, a lot faster, to the point where that season in the fire brigade, they were literally forced to rearrange a side because I was so much faster than I was the previous year. And I suddenly started winning trophies in the fire brigade, and doing a lot better, and that was from the fitness of football. As I said, I still can't play football today, although I'm a little bit better, but still not great at it. It's something that I'll probably never be great at, but that's not important. It's what I got out of it along the way that mattered. And I call that my first round of accidental therapy. After that, I found myself quite often selected. In fact, every year after that, I was selected for the high school inter-school sports team, typically in the 100 metres, 200, and the 4x100 relay. And I'd also get in the triple jump every year, and occasionally the long jump. So my school sport sort of saw the difference. I'd usually get a place in at least one of the events at school level, and not do too bad at inter-school level either. So I went from being dead last to being a potential place getter, often a place winner in school sports. So obviously it had major effects on confidence and whatever else. It also had a bit of an effect on how I viewed manual labour, you know, stuff like digging holes and you know, chopping wood and stuff like that. I found that I could get the same satisfaction out of doing that sort of work, which still applies today. You know, people say it could be worse, could be digging ditches, but I look at it this way. I quite enjoy digging ditches, whether it's for money or whether it's just to help out a few friends or anything else physical. So that's another legacy of the that year of footy. So that's sort of the story so far, and I will resume.
The voice of your community, 106.7 Phoenix FM.
So, getting back to sport, I'd got up to the year of footy and the first bit of accidental therapy that I'd had. Not long after, I had a second round of accidental therapy, this time courtesy of my younger sister. She got heavily involved in gymnastics and really loved it. And she'd come home and practice some of her floor routines, and I'd look at it, and being a visual person, I was seeing her tumbling and thinking, that doesn't look quite right, you know. Point the toes, straighten the legs, tighten it up a bit here, there. So I was sort of just instinctively giving her a few pointers. Anyway, one day, as Dad was on the committee of the club, the coach came round to talk about some business, and she noticed me working with my younger sister, and said, "Why don't you come down the club and coach for us? We actually need a male coach." So I sort of said, "Yeah, why not?" So I ended up going down to the club, and of course, if I'm going to coach gymnastics, it means I have to do it. So there I go, straight on the beam. This is the first thing that I was put on. From then on, just continued on. So I spent about 7 years doing gymnastics. During that time, I found that my coordination improved quite dramatically, to the point where most of the issues are gone. Gross motor coordination became very good. Only a few lingering fine motor coordination issues, and a few other things that happen when I'm really pushing the limits. So that 7 years of gymnastics did a lot to deal with the general awkwardness, clumsiness, and whatever else. It also helped me find out what I was good at and not good at in that context, where strength and power were the strong points, but as a late starter, flexibility on the floor was a challenge, although I still improved flexibility quite a bit in that time. So anyway, that sort of fed into, I mean, the fire brigade was still going on in the background, so I was doing gymnastics and the fire brigade pretty much till the time when I left home in my early 20s. After leaving home, I sort of got involved in, you know, things like work when I could get it, and other people things, other hobbies, and I wasn't around a very active group of people, so I drifted away from competitive sport, although I kept walking. I used to walk a lot of places just because I enjoyed walking, and still being active, and that pretty much continued on for 10 years until that stage. I was, as I mentioned last week, I was heavily involved into amateur radio, and I was talking to quite a lot of locals, and they were talking about this thing called the ARDF, or Amateur Radio Direction Finding Championships, that were being held, an international meet that was being held in Victoria. So I got curious. I started asking what it was about and they said it was, you know, like a cross between orienteering and hidden transmitter hunting. I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I made arrangements to give it a go. You know, I found out a bit more through the people that were talking, and then presentations at radio clubs where the organisers would present and invite people along. I had done orienteering before, was sort of middle of the road. I hadn't quite got my head around the whole navigation thing at that level. I was good at finding my way around, you know, with a street map or a road map, but I hadn't had enough experience in the bush. When I started taking up ARDF, and I took up orienteering at the same time because the two sports are so closely related, I found that I was particularly good at navigation bush as well as street. So I did a state meet, I think the first one was, and found 3 out of 5 controls. And then a couple of months later, I did the international one, which I fully expected, being such a newcomer and not really being in shape. I was okay shape, but not sort of competitively fit at the time. I thought that would be, you know, it'd be just a fun exercise to go through. But ended up with 2 team gold and an individual bronze, so I surprised myself. and discovered another sport. So after that, I kept that up. I took up orienteering and Rogaining and a few other things. Worked on the navigation side. Found that the radio side, I was naturally suited to. Navigation, again, suited the way my mind worked, but the endurance, the long distance running, was my weak side. As much as I trained, I found that difficult. I actually took up running itself around this time, running regularly with a group on Saturday mornings around the town in Melbourne. Did a number of fun runs, distances from 5k up to a full marathon in 2008. Improved time slightly, but always a struggle. That said, I still do enjoy running. It also fit, was a social outlet, coffee and a chat and things. I was meeting with a regular group at the time. And that was up till the marathon. After the marathon, I decided with another move of house that I'd take up the local gym, which was just a few hundred metres walk, and get into a bit of weight training, not for anything competitive, just general fitness, improve. The upper body was never as good as the lower body, so I thought I'd balance things up and just sort of general improvement, and took to that like a duck to water while keeping a little bit of running and other stuff going in the background. But then in 2010 I came out here to Bendigo, which offered the opportunity to return to the fire brigade. I'll go to a couple more tracks and then we'll talk about the big comeback.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock,
yeah.
You can move a mountain, you can break rocks.
You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself
standing in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
You can run the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you could get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
Politicians, be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders. Be astronauts, be champions. Be truth seekers. Be students, be teachers. Be politicians, be preachers,
preachers.
Be believers, be leaders. Be astronauts, be champions.
Standing in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
You can be the best, you can be the champion, hanging on your chest.
6.7 Phoenix FM.
And we're back with Real People Talk Autism. That was Kate Bush with Running Up That Hill. And before that we had Hall of Fame by The Script featuring Will.i.am. So there's the tracks. And resuming our story, getting back to sport. I'm just going through the tail end of my sporting history, and then I'll go on to some other issues that might be a benefit to various people. So as I was saying, in 2010 I moved out of Melbourne. Came up here to Bendigo, the main reason being a tree change. We decided, had enough of the big city, let's get out and get away from the rat race. And I will say, I love Bendigo. I'll be here for a while yet. And it's one of the best things that we've ever done, is to get out of Melbourne, come up here. But one of the other side benefits of coming to Bendigo was I was back in CFA territory, which meant after nearly 20 years I could rejoin the fire brigade, and not only to put out the fires and that sort of stuff, but also get back into a, as we call, the running team, which is the competition arm of the brigade. So I pretty much found a home out in Eagle Hawk. Well, not the house, but the fire brigade home out there within 3 weeks of moving up to Bendigo. And it was talking to someone and invited to sort of pursue it further with them, which I did. Let them know that I had run with another brigade before, many years ago, and I'd like to get back into it. And then pretty much straight away, it was in August, September, so not long after that, started training with the team and getting back into it. Despite being sort of strong from the gym, it actually took me a whole season to get fully fit. I've had to take a bit of a scientific approach. I think age is probably part to do with it. Making a comeback at 42 is probably not for everyone. But after the first season, which half was spent out in injury, I came back the next year stronger and better than ever, and pretty much worked on continuous improvement since. Had success right up to state level. You won a number of local events, placed well in local competitions, but in 2014 we actually won an event at state level and got some other placings, and other years pick up a number of placings, so improving all the time. And as for myself, worked hard on the fitness aspect, on making myself ready to deal with the competition and all that entails, and minimise injury, that sort of thing. But what it's, every time I go out, when I come back, there's always that really good feeling, and this is where it starts to get interesting as far as I'm concerned for people on the spectrum, is not what I've done, that's just sort of the background, but what's come out of it. I found by being active, it's given me a lot more stable mindset, and I find if I'm not active, the anxiety tends to get up and the mood tends to go down, but while I'm constantly active, whether it's competitive or whether it's recreational, like some things I've never done as a sport, such as cycling, but I enjoy it very much as a recreational thing. I come out of it feeling, with a lot better mood, a lot calmer, a lot more centred, and I find that's one of the big benefits that I get out of sport and exercise in general. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Doesn't have to be competitive. It can be purely recreational. Like the Saturday morning runs, the coffee and conversation was as much a part of the pleasure as was the actual run itself and the recovery. If you've got a kid on the spectrum, maybe they, if they seem to show some interest in some form of activity, whether it's running around or kicking the footy or whatever, maybe find an appropriate club. Or if they have coordination issues, perhaps there are a number of programs around starting to come out that specialise in special needs kids and kids on the spectrum to help with self-confidence, coordination and general fitness. So they are out there. It's just a matter of looking around and also going to things like the expo might yield some ideas as well. Or maybe there's nothing in your area, but maybe getting a couple of kids to play together is a good start. So where am I today? Well, as I said, coordination has improved a lot, but not as much as I'd like, because I'm always trying to push the boundary. I'm trying to get a bit more speed at the moment, and that's pushing the limits of what my neurology can do. But I'm not giving up. I've actually taken up the next level, cross-country running and track and field, the latter in particular, to try and work specifically on those coordination issues and get that little bit more speed out of me. Still ongoing, still working, and still challenging myself to do that one better. So if you're an adult and you've sort of gone through school being the last picked for any sporting competition, I've been there, done that. I was often the last picked as slowest, least coordinated, or just simply the weirdest or whatever, so been there, but that's past. If you've had a bad past history, maybe think about something recreational. Go for a bike ride, take a walk, see how you feel afterwards. and yeah, give it a go. Sport is just one of the aspects of what keeps me stable. There are other aspects, and I'll sort of talk a bit about emotional stability and get into issues such as meltdowns and all these other things that we on the spectrum face as challenges.
The voice of your community, 106.7 Phoenix FM.
And we're back with Real People Talk Autism. And thanks to our wonderful sponsors that keep us on air. And just before the sponsors, I was talking about some of the mood-enhancing benefits of regular exercise and competitive sport. And for me, that's been one of the big things that sort of helped keep me quite functional under difficult situations. I found many years ago that I got to the point, being fairly strong, fairly fit, that I couldn't afford to have uncontrollable meltdowns. At best, someone would get hurt, whether it's me or someone else. At worst, I could end up in trouble with the law. I knew that wasn't an option, so I had to find ways to safely deal with it. One of the first being, when we had an open fire, was to simply grab the axe, go outside, and go chop some wood and work it off. That seemed to work quite effectively. Or go for a walk. Long walks I found very calming as well when things got difficult in my teens. But as I got older, I found some other methods that worked. Another thing I got into, again accidentally, and hopefully younger people can benefit from my accidental discoveries and maybe approach it in a more structured and even more effective way than I did. This accidental discovery was an organisation called GROW, which is still around. It's a 12-step program. It's for mental health, based on Alcoholics Anonymous, but they focus on mental health. And it's actually an Australian invention. And I sort of went on the idea that, if I can feel better about myself, it won't hurt. So I went along, and through the group, I just learnt some basic strategies to, if I start thinking everything's going bad, I have strategies to sort of pull myself out. So ways different and reframing things, so instead of the world hates me, it's stuff happens, it's one of those days. It's just a little speed bump, but one bad thing doesn't make a disaster. It's just another thing to deal with. Those sort of techniques have helped me a lot to avert, when things do get a bit bad. Now, we all have bad days, some days better than others. Allow me to sort of avoid going too far, whether I've got to withdraw to a quieter place or drop that social engagement because I know it's just going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, or whether I drop something else so I can go to the more important, the engagement that I really need to be at for whatever reason, because it's someone important or it's an organisational one that I can't afford to avoid or whatever. Other basic things like making sure I get enough sleep, keeping regular sleep hours is important. I found I'm susceptible to working or staying up strange hours. I think as we all have when we were younger, I've done it, and I discovered the hard way that it just doesn't agree with me. So nightclubs are out, when they open at 9 and don't really get going till midnight. Doesn't suit my body clock, so nightclubs got the flick many years ago. So a lot of just general looking after myself. But the exercise is sort of like the big mood stabilizer. You may have heard of the runner's high. Well, it is true. After a good session, you do tend to feel a lot better after exercise, and that feeling can persist for some time. And if it's regular, it can sort of pervade your overall mood. So I find exercise beneficial from that point of view. And the competitive side, I don't always win, often don't, but one of the things I do like to do is compare to how I've done in the past, and if I'm making progress, however little, it's a good thing. If I'm not making progress, I sort of look at myself and say, okay, what didn't work that time? What can I do better? How can I be better? So instead of saying, no, you're no good for not doing better than last time, it's more of a, okay, this wasn't so good, but let's have a look. How can I do it better? And that sort of helped me through a lot of areas of life. Even coming here on the radio, it's just another form of a challenge. Instead of being physical, this one's a bit more mental. It's a bit more organisational. It's also making sure that I can't afford to have a meltdown on air. Can't even afford to have a shutdown on air because dead air doesn't sound very good. So it's the same thing. It's using the same strategies I use in sport to deal with being here on air. And again, doing something just a few weeks ago, I thought I wouldn't be flying this solo, and well, here I am. So, as I said, if you're a young child or an adult, and you're thinking, well, maybe I'll give this sport thing a try. So how would you go about it? And first thing I say is, what do you enjoy doing? Do you enjoy kicking the footy around? Do you enjoy, running all over the park for an hour or so? Or do you prefer quick sprints? Or is there something you like watching on TV, like swimming or hockey or whatever? And look to what you like doing. And see if you can find a suitable club there. You know, some clubs will be more supportive than others, I've found. Just look around. Don't be afraid to try something unconventional. Most of my sporting experience has been unconventional, like the fire brigade is very unique. Only Victoria and Western Australia do the competitions anything like we do it here. Maybe something mainstream. But, as I said, start with what activities you like, take it from there. And I know a number of sports people on the spectrum of levels from local to international, and the sports they do is pretty much as broad as you'll find anywhere else. I said before, I'm no good at ball sports. My hand-eye coordination just doesn't like it, and my coordination for throwing is still very dodgy. I tried not only footy, at that time I tried cricket, and that was not much chop. Although I enjoyed the game. I love cricket. I still love watching it today. Good test match or one day, it's still enjoyable to watch, but still can't play it. So that wasn't my thing, but there are a lot of other people on the spectrum who do really good at things like football. There's been a couple of young kids in the paper over the years at footy clubs, doing well. I know a couple of tennis players on the spectrum, and dancers. It's another one. I mean, dancing is something for me that's not easy. Falls into an area I have learning difficulty with, but for other people it works really well. And I'm sort of considering things like dance as a way to take on some of my issues head on. I know a swimmer. I know some cyclist swimmer. So, again, different sports. Uh, So pretty much the sky's the limit. So start with what you like. If you don't know what you like, try something, yeah? Something that you saw on TV that sort of, a bit like I did with the fire brigade when I was six, or, hey, I want to do this. Yeah, if you see something on TV, yeah, that looks good. Give it a whirl. Yeah, try and find a club that does that sport or something similar and see how you go. Or perhaps you don't want to compete. I know there's a number of people on the spectrum don't like competition for whatever reason, and which is fine. There's plenty of non-competitive activities like myself. I enjoy cycling as purely non-competitive. I've never competed in a cycling event. Probably never will, because for me it's a recreation. It's something I enjoy both individually and as a group with other people. Taking a nice leisurely ride on a day like today, perfect weather today to get out on the bike, although time will be against me. So that's another strategy. I think the main thing is get the body active. The only thing is, if you haven't been active for a number of years and you sort of, over 40, they recommend you go and get a check out with your doctor just to make sure there's nothing physically wrong that could be triggered by, the increased exercise, particularly if you're not used to regular exercise. Definitely go and get checked out with a doctor. Most people should be able to find something that really floats their boat. And the other rule is, has been said elsewhere on the net, do something you enjoy. If you don't, if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. Like, if you don't like running, don't do it. If you don't like swimming, don't do it. Same as me, I find tennis not my thing, so I don't do it. So I pick things I do, and again, recommend you follow what you like. Okay, that's pretty much, for the most part, what I wanted to talk about. So I'll go to a couple of tracks and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, we put a lot in and we worked real hard. There were days when we tried, days when we start, try to please the crowds when they're unforgiving. There are easier ways to make a living. Well, we've come a long way since the start of things. We've seen the joy that hard work brings. You've made us cry and you've made us smile. We've hit the front, now it's all worthwhile. Cause there's one day in September we want to remember. There isn't any doubting, we'll be in there shouting. Football's such a part of this whole town. Football's such a part of this whole town. We know that you won't let us down. Well, there's nothing better than a nice good win. There's no second prize if you let them in. You've got to give your best and then give again. Out there, there's no such thing as friends. We've been our best and we've been our worst. If we do it right, we'll come home first. We've got to get in there and make them sag. Hit them hard and take the flag. Cause there's one day in September we want to remember. There isn't any doubting, we'll be in there shouting. Football's such a part of this whole town. Football's such a part of this whole town. And we know that you won't let us down.
Of your community, 106.7 Phoenix FM.
And we're back with Real People Talk Autism. And I've just received an SMS from Josh saying, "Hi, loving this radio presenter talking mental health. His words are pure gold for all." Thanks for that, Josh, for your kind words, and much appreciated. It's nice to know that people are listening and getting something out of what I have to say. Which is really good. One other thing that I'll just talk about is because I've learned, I've come to enjoy activity over the years and come to depend on it. Another side of being active is I enjoy a good physical challenge, particularly if it can be used to, benefit someone else. The simple is, helping out a few people on a work site or something, but I'm going to talk more about fundraising. I like the fun runs and that sort of stuff. I'm not a distance runner by nature. I tend to be more a sprinter, so it's an additional challenge to go out there, do the distance, and I always look at what times I've got. I have targets based on past performance, which I try and exceed. Take it from there. But probably the biggest fundraisers I've taken part in has been the autism walk over the last couple of years, where my natural distance is about 100 metres. The autism walk is an annual 24-hour challenge, or 24-hour walk, of which those of us that do the most of the walking are out for typically around 15 or 16 hours. And I like to put myself on the line to help raise funds to draw awareness to the fact that, yes, we can do things, and not only can we do them, but you know, we enjoy doing it, and if we can do it to help someone else, you know, raise money for a good cause, well, that's even better. And I tend to get a bit reflective, which is around that time too, because it's a major investment of time, and it's all for a good cause. So for 2 months of the year, I sort of put the running shoes aside, grab the walking shoes, and train up to see how fit I can get for long distance walking, and then at the walk itself, I do tend to push myself fairly hard, because it's just the way things are. I'm out there to just show the best of myself, not competing against anyone, but just to show the best of myself. I set myself goals and see if I can make it, to say yes, I can do this, and be there at the end of the event, still on 2 feet, and also having helped raise money for good causes. So it's another area, you know, when I see an interesting fitness challenge that raises money, I like to take part. If for some reason it's not appropriate or not possible for me to take part, and I know someone else that is, I'm equally happy to support them to be the best that they can be on that challenge. And I do have, there is someone I'm supporting on a challenge at the moment for that very reason. He's decided to take it on, got him before I did, and I said, well, rather than competing against you, or, you know, competing, you know, fundraising in the same circles, you do your best, any training or any other hints, I'll give you a hand to, get the best out of you for that particular challenge. So hopefully he takes that on board, and when the day comes, he does his best and enjoys himself. He's not on the spectrum, but I support anyone that I know that's doing something similar. So that's pretty much my story with sport, exercise, mental health, physical health, and just about everything else in between. I will be taking SMSs from on the number 0477 51358. However, there will be a bit of music, so I'll go to another few tracks and enjoy the music. You're listening to Real People Talk Autism on Phoenix FM 106.7. Choices.
At the end of the day, some you win, some you don't. So I'm glad that I'm here with some friends that I know. Always there with a smile, saying you're not alone. Singing la 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 la, que será.
Get through it. Tomorrow is a mystery, so let's just do it. And even when the rain falls, you and I will stand tall. No matter what you go through, I'll never leave you. So you gotta be strong, strong. Live by the words of the song, song. Together is where we belong, belong. Never stop dreaming, keep holding on.
At the end of the day, some you win, some you go.
It's been a long day, had enough, giving up, it ain't okay. We don't care what the world say, we spread love, it's the only way. So you gotta be strong, strong, live by the words of the song, song. Together is where we belong, belong. Never stop dreaming, keep holding on.
At the end of the day, some you win, some you don't. So I'm glad that I'm here with some friends that I know. Always there. As long as I got you by my side, we keep falling, but the world keeps spinning and I might stop winning, but I know that we're gonna be alright. At the end of the day, some you win, some you don't. So I'm glad that I'm here with some friends that I know. Always there with a smile, saying you're not alone. Singing la 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 la, que será.
At the end of the day, some you win, some you don't. So I'm glad that I'm here with some friends that I know. Always there with a smile, saying you're not alone. Saying la, 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 que será.
on his knees and repeat after me. Say, oh.
Take a sip on the secret potion. I'll make you fall in love. First love that can be broken. One drop should be enough. Boy, you feel it to me. I got the recipe and it's called black magic.
Phoenix FM.
And we're back with Real People Talk Autism. And that was Black Magic by Little Mix. Before that was Justice Crew with Que Sera. And we started that set with the Hoosiers song Choices. And I forgot to back announce this set before, where we started that one with Mike Brady and One Day in September, which I think is a feeling, whether you're a footballer or some other sports person, it's a feeling you can relate to. And then Holding Out for a Hero with Bonnie Tyler to round off that first bracket. So we're sort of coming fairly late in the show. Not a lot to add, just a little bit about where I am at the moment. I think sporting-wise, my current sort of passion when it comes to sport is the fire brigade. I think it's sort of the one I was almost born with, and it's the one that's going to stick with me forever. And as I get older, I'm aware that I can't do it forever, so I'm actually started taking up judging junior events and also helping out with the kids. So I've got a plan to go on when I'm no longer able to run. But in the meantime, it's the off-season, so we're not doing any specific training or competition other than the occasional winter meet for some dry work. I haven't been resting. I'm ramping up training. I'm taking up cross-country to get a bit more endurance for recovery between events. I've been doing 3K events. I'm hoping that when it's available, I might try a 1K and a 3K on the same day to sort of further work on that recovery aspect. And I had a go at a track and field meet last Sunday, which is the first time I've done it ever since leaving school. And considering the length of time since I've done it and the fact that I've never run on that surface or used proper starting blocks before, I think I did pretty well. There's a lot of potential, and looking at training that to sort of try and improve speed, deal with some of these coordination issues, and get some tips off the coaches. Although it's going to be a bit of a collaborative experiment, that one, because they won't, chances are they haven't dealt with someone quite like me, and but I'll be drawing on their sporting expertise, so marrying the two together is what I'll be looking at doing. Anyway, let's get back into the music, have a few more tracks for you to enjoy, and I'll be back after these.
'cause I know who I am. Well, there are people all around us who try to save us when we fall. They hold us when we cry. They're there for us all. All the friends and lovers I have known put me together, make me whole. Even when my dark time I want to, baby. There'll be no talking about the weather with strangers who don't care who I am. I'm ready to face all the dangers, 'cause I know who I am. Above my
just hanging by a thread. I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep, 'cause everything is never as it seems. Leave my door open just a crack.
Please take me away from here,
'cause I feel like such an insomniac. Eyes as they said farewell, but I'll know where several are if my dreams get real bizarre, 'cause I saved a few and I keep them in a jar.
Of your community, 106.7 Phoenix FM.
And we're back with Real People Talk Autism. After a bit of a technical hiccup, that was Our City with Fireflies, and prior to that we had Clive Young with Friends and Lovers, and to open up the set was One and Only by Chesney Hawkes, which I think applies to a lot of us. We all are a bit of a one and only, one of a kind. And also had a very nice phone call with a listener, and it just raised another point that some people on the spectrum have other conditions in addition to autism, and or their autism issues may be not conducive to mainstream sport. There are organisations that can help. One in particular is Disability Sport and Recreation. They, mostly based in Melbourne, hold a number of sporting, clubs and events and that for all abilities. And there are other local options for all abilities. So, a bit of a look around with Google is certainly going to help, but I can give you Disability Sport and Recreation's website, which is www.dsr.org.au, and I'll put that up on the Facebook page as well. Anyway, we've come to the end of the show. I'm going to go out with a track and into the sponsors, and then we'll be on to the next show after that. Would you like to introduce your show? Yeah, we have Brendan's not here this week, so we have a fill-in with some good music, so enjoy. Here's Stan Walker with Black Box to take us out, and then we'll go into the next show. And with a bit of luck, Beck will be back next week to keep you informed in the world of autism.
Everything we have. scattered everywhere, searching through the wreckage of a love affair.
You got something to say, say it to me, not everyone else. You say that I'm to blame, my words are in vain, you're fooling yourself.
There's a little black box here, somewhere in the ocean, holding all the truth about us.
When you get deep, you left me on my own at 600 feet. I was looking round for a little help, but everyone was looking out for themselves.
You got something to say.
Since this show went to air, I have been training with the Eagle Hawk Athletics Club and have competed in a number of meets. During that time, I've been able to get my times down quite considerably since starting. 400 metres is about 18 seconds faster. In the 200, I'm 3 seconds faster than when I started. And in the 100 metres, about a second faster. So making good progress, and with more and more practice, I expect to get even faster in the future. So things are looking good for this summer. The Fire Brigade competition season starts in 3 weeks' time.